off top. I don't know. Football's really fun. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
Welcome to the Dominique Foxworth Show. I'm joined for the last Sunday of Sunday show. I guess it's a Monday show when you're hearing it, of the season, by the normal guy, Vanilla Snack. And of course, the football savant, Bill Barnwell. What's up, fellas? That was fun, right?
We liked it. That was some good football.
It was really fun. It actually wasn't all that good, but it was really fun. It was intense.
What? It was fun. It was the
first. Yeah, it was fun.
The early part of the game when it was just coming down to Niners fumbles and Chiefs fumbles, that part wasn't that fun.
Yeah.
Because it felt like there was no point. But then after that, once these teams actually started playing better, it felt like we got some fun stuff happening.
I didn't quite understand why. Like, it seemed like they were killing them with that, like, weird pistol inverted wishbone early in the game. They never came back to it. But we'll wait to get into the minutiae later. Mm-hmm. First, we had a great time in Vegas. We'll get to the Gallivant recap, I think, later in the week. Let's talk about this Super Bowl and how Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are the newest dynasty. It's official now, right? 3 titles in 5 years makes it official, even if people wanted to pretend like it wasn't a thing.
That's the fifth time that's happened ever. I mean, I don't, like none of the other teams who have pulled this off, we would ever consider saying they're not a dynasty. To me, I feel like if we are saying it's not going to be the case, people are going to come back, watch this episode in 20 years and say, all you dudes were stupid. This is a dynasty.
I have, before we get into our questions, I have a guess that you might end up with two football hipsters that are going to give Patrick Mahomes his just due. But I want to talk about all the other amazing things that happened, mostly on the defense. Like, it was a great night for cornerbacks and secondary play and Chris Jones and special teams blocking field goals and getting muffs. But I think that I would like, so like on Get Up tomorrow morning, I'm definitely going to be the odd man out yelling about all this stuff while Dan Orlovsky tells us about how great Patrick Mahomes is, and no one's going to care. But on this podcast, I know that you also recognize that those plays were as important as anything that Patrick Mahomes did tonight. So I guess, Charlie, we need you yourself.
Let's start broad. We're going to get, look, the Chiefs defense was obviously a huge story in this game, particularly the way they were able to execute in the red zone towards the end of the game. But I want to put your guys' minds in the spot of another, if you're another player on another team and you're coming out of this game, the Chiefs had a really rough patch this season. Then it comes down the stretch, and Patrick Mahomes feels inevitable. The Chiefs win 25-22. It feels like Patrick Mahomes can drive down the field at will with his ragtag bunch of receivers that we criticized the entire season, that the defense of the Chiefs is going to make every important goal line stand. And that Patrick Mahomes has won his third Super Bowl. If you're the rest of the NFL, and you just saw Mahomes win this game, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that next year is my year. Like, I don't understand. I recognize that MBS somehow caught a 5-yard pass and made it a 4-yard loss, and they still managed to win. And I recognize that having this situation where last year we thought they were like kind of in a retooling phase, not a championship contender, they won it. This year we thought they were even worse, and they still won it. I recognize now that I'm no longer an athlete inside my cocoon of ego that I've been in reality long enough to know that that's a scary proposition, but no player in the league, no team on a competitor in the league thinks that it is impossible. And I think we see that it's possible. It's not like they took this ragtag punt or this ragtag group and just ran through a bunch of teams. Like, they were, each of these games were competitive, and you watch these games and you think, damn, if only we had a, it's not like they seem unbeatable.
If only we had a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson or a Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey.
I love this argument because all year I try to play the most like nuanced, subtle, specific guy I can be. This is the broadest, most obvious question you can give me here in the Super Bowl recap. Who are the guys who have beaten Patrick Mahomes in the postseason? Give me the full list.
I mean, you're talking quarterbacks, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady
and Joe Burrow. Tom Brady, that's right, twice. Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow once. What this tells me is that the Niners, as good as they were in this game, and frankly, I think Brock Purdy was pretty good in this game, all things considered. Yeah. I'm not criticizing Brock Purdy, but what it tells me is that you have to bring a dude. Like, at the end of the day, even though, yes, he beat Josh Allen, even though, yes, he beat Lamar Jackson, even though, yes, he beat Tua Tagovailoa. Sorry, I'm just going to give you that one, Dolphins fan. That's just a nice little bonus for me here at the end of the year.
You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Good job, Dolphins.
You can. As you were watching the end of that game, as someone who had the Chiefs, I felt so good. Mm-hmm. So good inside that I had Patrick Mahomes and I didn't have Brock Purdy. And I think if you were a Niners fan, as much as you've defended Brock Purdy, as much as you've seen the numbers, as much as you believed or tried to believe in your heart that he is that dude, there's only a few people like that on the planet. And if you don't have one, I think you have to be sitting here right now saying, basically everything has to be perfect for us to win with that guy on the opposite side of the field. And even then, you need a Burrow. Even then, you need a Brady. Even then, you need a dude to be Patrick Mahomes.
And that's what I was... Bill, that's a great point. Took it out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to say. Because it feels like Burrow is sort of like the only... Because he went through Allen, who gave him his best punch. He sort of humiliated... I mean, the Chiefs sort of humiliated Lamar in the second half of that game in the way that he played against them. Like, you're looking at the landscape right now. I know the 49ers have been installed as the Super Bowl favorites for next year, but who is that guy? It doesn't seem like there's anyone near the mountaintop of Mahomes right now.
Of course not. But, I mean, this is an oversimplification. You keep talking about winning the Super Bowl and then narrowing it down to one player when I know maybe Charlie doesn't know this, but I know Bill knows that there's more to the game than just a quarterback. It would be more difficult for – I could understand you making this argument if we watched Patrick Mahomes put up 45 points 3 weeks in a row with a bunch of bums. Like, this was not – this was a lot like Tom Brady. Well, no, that's not
exactly
Tom Brady's last Super Bowl
Great point. No, 10 Super Bowl appearances.
No, it's a bad point because he played much better than Tom Brady did on that run, but it's still
– Who beat Mahomes?
He did. Who beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Go ahead, Bill.
Here's the thing. It's not a one-on-one game. You're right. And it's not that Brock Purdy played terrible in this game. But for the Buccaneers to beat the Chiefs in that game, they had to get out to a big lead. Once they got out to a big lead, the Chiefs couldn't come back. They didn't have the protection for Patrick Mahomes. He did not have enough around him. And with Brock Purdy, it's not like Brock Purdy, you know, got massively outplayed in this game. It's not like he was terrible. But I think everybody said the same thing at halftime of this game, which is, the Niners should be winning by like 3 touchdowns right now. Yeah. It felt like they dominated that half. And I think that's the problem with having Mahomes on the other side of the field is that if it's even close.
So I agree with that, but I'm saying,
feel like he's going to pull it out.
But I think that is making my point is that the Niners, they beat themselves is what everyone was saying and what you are saying. If they get out to that big lead that they certainly should have, and there were a bunch of things that happened in this game that the reason why they lost this game to me was not about Patrick Mahomes. You can point to a blocked field goal. You can point to a blocked punt. You can point to fumbles that Patrick Mahomes did not cause. Like those, I understand. I'm not going to disagree with you. If I'm in the fourth quarter and it's a one-score game and I'm on the other sideline, then I'm like, oh, but at the beginning of the season, after watching this, I'm not like, oh my gosh, they're unbeatable. I'm thinking if I'm the 49ers or I'm any other team, and even the Ravens, who their quarterback played poorly and they were still competitive in that game. And the Bills, they had mistakes that cost them that game. Like, I'm not any of these teams thinking like, oh my gosh, they might run the table. It feels like, yes, they should be considered a threat and we need to put them away because Patrick is better than anybody at the end of the game.
You keep saying that. We agree that the Chiefs don't feel like a perfect team right now. They don't feel like they're head and shoulders with everybody else in football. They're one of the youngest teams in football.
That's the scary part.
They have a really obvious hole that is abysmal that you have to figure is going to be better next year than it was this year. Granted, they didn't exactly fix that hole last offseason either, but like, this team might be better next year than it was last year. It's kind of been a retooling Chiefs team that just won 2 Super Bowls.
I'm glad that we're not an argument show, so I can come up off of my point if I feel that I'm wrong. I don't necessarily feel that I'm wrong, but I agree that the fact that they won back-to-back Super Bowls on the weakest team that they've had since they've been out there, that's a lot scarier than watching the way that this season ended. The scary part is they're likely to get better before they have to even pay the guys on the, or all the guys on the other side. Chris Jones, the only one who's, I think, set up to, and Snead. Yeah, Legarius and Jones are set up to get paid real soon. And on the offensive side of the ball, it's nobody, because ain't nobody earned that. They can hit free agency hard.
And that's one of the things, for the record, that's
tackles, receivers,
wide receivers,
all of them got to go.
And that's what I was trying to get to. It's obvious that the Chiefs aren't going to win the Super Bowl every single year, but this is unique because we've talked about this a little bit on our show. Like, this could be the worst roster they have offensively over the next five seasons with Patrick Mahomes, who somewhat seems like he's still somewhat getting better, as impossible as that is to say. I know his numbers this year weren't better than they were last year, but he essentially played perfect mistake-free football as an underdog in three consecutive playoff games, which is crazy. I want to get back to Mahomes, but I do want to pivot a tiny bit because we're saying it wasn't anyone in particular who lost this game. But I do want to have the Shanahan conversation a tiny bit because this is now the third Super Bowl. I know one, he was an offensive coordinator. The third Super Bowl where a Kyle Shanahan run team has blown a 10 or larger point lead. He took the ball first in overtime. He didn't use any timeouts in overtime. How do you view the Kyle Shanahan experience right now?
Bill, you can kick us off here.
This was it, right? Like, when they went for it on that fourth down and they got that touchdown a couple plays later, tears came to my eye, guys. I was like, he's finally realized it. He's finally realized everybody else is scared that he's going to start figuring this out and going for it on fourth down. And it got them a touchdown in a close game in the Super Bowl. And then it didn't matter. Yeah. It got them to overtime, which, hey, great, but did not win them the game in the long run. I have been very critical of Kyle Shanahan each of the last two Super Bowl losses. I think we could find little things here and there. You know, you mentioned the timeout usage. They were not aggressive in stopping the clock at the end of the first half. They, you know, I think I want to go back and look at the tape. They could have maybe run the ball a little bit more, but it was, I think, kind of like the Ravens from a couple weeks ago, where you look at what they actually did on paper, and it looks worse on paper than it does on the film because there really weren't a lot of opportunities to run, and the Chiefs were getting pretty aggressive about selling out to stop the run. To me, this was, of all three of those losses, the least about Kyle Shanahan. I think you can point a finger in a few other places. I don't think this was the kind of game where we can pin it on one player or one person. And I know that's going to be the easiest thing to do. I know we're all going to look for that scapegoat. I don't think that game, this game, lent itself to that kind of analysis.
I certainly agree with you. And I think while it's hard to have the, it's funny that you have these two questions next to each other, because it's hard to have you standing in the position of saying you got to have one of those dudes and Purdy isn't one of those dudes, and then also standing up to say, man, Kyle Shanahan sure be out here choking. But I think that Kyle Shanahan's issues have been pronounced in previous games. It's hard to point to a problem with what he did here. He did all the things that we say that he's afraid to do. Like you mentioned, go for the fourth down. He threw that double screen. He did like aggressive things that I didn't love the double screen, but it worked. It got a touchdown. He did aggressive things throughout this game.
Why didn't you love the double screen?
Well, I guess not. Yeah, I don't know.
You hate your plays?
You're
Jerry Rice.
I don't hate trick plays. I don't know. When you're running the ball and you're having success, it does make me nervous, but it was a good call. It's one of their few touchdowns. The other one was Juwan Jennings in that game. So yeah, it worked. It's Kyle Shanahan being un-Shanahan-y, which is very nice. I will say in the second half, I went back because I remember I got a text actually saying they need to run the ball. And it wasn't their fault for a lot of that. It's like the first one, they got behind the chains because of penalty, I think. And then the second one was a loss of yards, got them behind the chains. They get behind the chains, which kind of dovetails with another thing that I've always said about these 49ers offenses, specifically under Shanahan, is their first down offenses, first and second down. They just, like, for whatever reason, they don't want to get to third down. He does not have plays for it. Maybe it's also about not having a quarterback for it. But when they throw an incomplete pass on first down, you can almost guarantee that this drive is over unless they get bailed out by a holding call on McDuffie. Or if they have a short gain on first down through the run and you know they have to throw it the next time, it feels over. So that's what it boils down to me for them and this offense. And that's why I feel like I can't really blame Shanahan. That's the one thing where I would say maybe do more, but it's a give and take. Like, get better at third down, but there's only so much time in the week, only so much time in practice. That inevitably means you're going to get worse on first and second down.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is the type of thing where if you're the genius play caller and you have six all pros and a quarterback is playing pretty well, like, that's sort of where you actually make your bones, finding ways to get those guys open. On the other side, we saw the Chiefs completely figure out how to protect Mahomes after the first quarter and a half, where they initially couldn't protect him when the 49ers were rushing four. And like, that's a coaching difference. Obviously, it's a quarterback difference too.
So I would push back a little bit. They did some things to help chip the ends, but I'm not sure that they figured out how to protect as much as Mahomes ran enough times that it caused the defensive ends to like be more conservative in their rush lanes. And yeah, I think that's more it than anything. So I guess it goes back to, you need a guy. I mean, Purdy tried to run, but they had spies walking him down. And I guess then it goes back to get your number one guys open, your top guys open, which McDuffie and Snead made Debo and Ayuk essentially disappear in this game. Mm-hmm. And Juwan Jennings was the only one making plays on the outside.
So what do you
want to take credit for the Juwan Jennings call?
Nobody. Keep it moving. We don't need to talk about it. Nobody needs credit for that.
Nobody needs credit for Juwan Jennings' discussion. I mean, this was a game where it felt like the Niners were not able to leverage their strengths, right? Like, you know, it felt like if you want to attack the Chiefs, you want to attack their linebackers. You want to attack, you know, their safeties and coverage. And we saw a little bit of that. Kyle was able to scheme up some stuff for Ayuk against Mike Edwards. We saw some stuff where they were able to attack Jalen Watson. But it felt like the big moments of this game were the Niners trying to hit their wide receivers against the two best players in the Chiefs secondary, and the Chiefs secondary, more often than not, made those plays.
McDuffie in zero coverage on that deep post, it was just incredible play. And those are the things that we're going to forget and focus on, how Patrick Mahomes led a game-winning drive, which he deserves credit for. But we're not going to focus on those big-time plays by him and everybody else on that defense.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Do you want to launch your, because before we were on air, we were talking about the play where in overtime, Chris Jones ran through the line and blew up Brock Purdy, potentially throwing the ball to Brandon Ayuk, which would have been the touchdown. Bill, do you want to launch your take?
Okay. I mean, Chris Jones in this game.
You're not saying it with your chest.
Say it with your chest. It's okay. I got it.
Go ahead.
Chris Jones is the real MVP of this game because he is the reason why they did not score a touchdown there at the end and the Chiefs won. My chest got
and the other touchdown, he blew up the other play too.
Yeah, he did. It feels like this is Charlie's take now. Charlie, you own the take.
Just trying to help out.
You own the take. It's your take. Say it with your chest.
Let's get to the thing that everyone wants to talk about. Should we do it? Should we talk about the Brady Mahomes conversation? Are you ready to talk Brady Mahomes?
Oh gosh.
No.
Can't wait.
Let's do it.
Bart Scott voice. All right.
Over under Super Bowl for Mahomes for his Super Bowls for Mahomes for his career, because it's looking like 6.5 is on the table.
He's 28 now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this team again, I believe one of the, I think they're 6th youngest in all of football, 2nd youngest defense in all of football. Obvious holes that theoretically could be fixed by getting guys who can catch the football at wide receiver. I think I would say 5.5. I would think I would lean towards 6 as opposed to 7. But, I mean, he might still have 12, 13, 14, 13 more shots at winning a Super Bowl. And he's been stopped from getting there twice.
So we're gonna assume, and what Brady played till 45. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll assume that Mahomes can play till 40. Is that what you're saying? You said 12 years, so you're saying 40.
Different kinds of players, to be fair.
So let's say 10 years to be safe. Sure. 10 years. We got 10 more Mahomes seasons, and he has 3 Super Bowls. So in 10 years, could he win 4 more?
4 more?
He could. Yeah, that seems so high. I'm going to go under the 6.5. If 6.5 is the lot, I'm definitely going under. And I hate myself for doing it, but I feel like I got to go under. I want to go over. Like, I'm someone who, and maybe you could call me a bandwagon guy, but like, I like to see cool shit. I'd rather Mahomes do it than not. Like, I didn't understand why people were like, oh, getting sick of this Mahomes thing. Like, nah, it's kind of dope. I understand it's annoying. I guess, no, maybe I'm creating a straw man, but I feel they started to turn to the Patriots in the way that people kind of hated the Patriots. And you remember, the Patriots were the underdogs that ran out of the tunnel together and everyone loved them. It didn't take long for the people to flip on them and start to hate the way that they dominated. And honestly, I thought it was kind of cool, except for when I was playing against them. Well, I'm undefeated against Tom Brady in the playoffs.
You need a Spygate scandal for the Chiefs. We need to like Taylor Swift was watching practice earlier this week and people thought she was in Tokyo the whole time. That's what we need to make the Chiefs into full heels.
Good script.
I mean, people try, right? Like, people do the whole, oh, they get all the calls, even though like every single major call in this game went the Niners' way. You know, they got the, oh, it's too much Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce's, we don't like him. Like, people will find reasons to dislike the Chiefs because they're always on, but like, this is an incredible story. This is a guy who basically, you know, has been transcendent from the moment he stepped on the field to a greater extent than anybody I can remember besides Brady seems to bend the will of games late to go in his favor. Like, this is...
Andy
he
Reed
gets
really...
the attention, he gets the plaudits because he's incredible. He made Andy Reid, a guy who people joked about as being unable to win in the postseason for decades, into a 3-time winning Super Bowl coach.
Andy Reid really made a mistake by sitting Patrick Mahomes that first year. He have a whole nother
when they
Super
lost
Bowl
to Tennessee
right now,
when Marcus Mariota beat them in the wild card round.
Have a whole nother Super Bowl right now if Andy wasn't so stubborn.
I mean, they could have 5 right now.
Fire Andy.
They could have 5 Super Bowls if it wasn't for D Ford stepping off sides and Patrick Mahomes randomly forgetting how to play quarterback in the second half against the Bengals. Distinctly possible.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, Travis Kelce just bumped his coach almost to the ground. That
How
was
weird.
Was
I was, that?
Yeah, he was hyped up, man. I guess I don't know what it does. I've never been in a Super Bowl, so I'm not gonna pretend like I know how Travis Kelce felt. But that was weird. There's a lot of like random injuries and weird happening. It's Charlie's cousin ran on the field with no shirt on. Did you see that? It's definitely a Kravitz.
You know what? Sometimes, Dominique, the Vegas gallivant goes too far.
Some people just can't handle Vegas.
And you end up shirtless on the field,
really?
Trying to high five.
I thought it looked like Mike Ryan. Looked a lot like Mike Ryan.
Or you end up sick and congested because Vegas whooped your ass.
Vegas got me a little too much. I tried. I stayed out. I tried to run with the big dogs. I learned my lesson. Stay back in the pack. Stay back in the pack with your calculator. Don't try.
You did a good job, Bill. It was fun. We had a great time.
Do we feel like this was Chris Jones's last game in a Chiefs uniform? Because he is a free agent. They did not give him the contract he was looking for before the year. But I also don't know how you watch that game and not do whatever it takes to bring Chris Jones back.
I don't understand how you do it. I don't know what their cap situation is like.
You find
that.
A way.
Yeah.
That get MVS out of there. Save money elsewhere.
Yeah. When you have a player like that, that seems to be, and it's not just this game, it's every game. It feels like every big game, he's making a pivotal play. And as good as the secondary was, they weren't good on that play. They had a double team, essentially, and the corner took away the inside. The safety came down and also took away the inside on that play where Chris Jones rushed Purdy right before the end of the game and forced a field goal. Like, that happens throughout the course of the game where we don't even see the going on in the back end because Chris Jones took care of it. So if I'm a DB on that team or Spags on that team, like, we get to see those cool Spags blitzes. You know why? Because Chris Jones is out there making problems for everybody else. And we can celebrate Spags. And if anybody appreciates a pass rush carrying him to great heights, it has to be Spagnola. As a cornerback, I appreciate a pass rush carrying people to great heights, but I wouldn't argue that I had great heights. But Spagnola's got a couple Super Bowl rings over Tom Brady that he mm-hmm. owes in large part to having a dominant pass rush. So find way to pay all of them. You need to find a way to pay one of him. Chris Jones is pivotal. Also, can people learn how to deal with motion? Because this is the second Super Bowl in a row. Can y'all figure this out? Like, it ain't that hard. You can seesaw it with the middle safety. You mm-hmm. can check to a zone. Like, there's lots of ways to solve this. For those who don't know, it looked exactly like the Eagles play last year.
It was the same motion. Yes. After the game, it was the same. Mm-hmm. What's the terrible name for it? Corn dog.
Like, man. Everybody, this summer, spend some time working on how to deal with the corn dog, because it's like it's in and return motion, and in man coverage you get the momentum of the player going, the coverage guy going inside, and then pivot back out, and it's very hard to cover. I understand, but if you know that it's something that they like to do in the red zone, should be ready.
Dominique, you've ever done karaoke?
Yes. Oh, no. I thought you were talking about, like, the drill karaoke. You mean, like, actually singing? Hell no.
No, like, never? Singing in a bar or a room. What is the drill karaoke?
It's like a little foot thing. It's like, I think in aerobics they call it a grapevine.
Yeah.
But in football you call it karaoke.
Those hips open.
It's like, yeah, over, left foot over. Yeah, I'll show it to you. I'll send you a video. Or you can Google it. I'm sure other people know.
I can't wait. Karaoke. If you do karaoke, for like the first couple hours, everyone has the kind of songs they want to hear. And then by like the end of the night, you're maybe a little tired. Maybe you just go back to play the hits. Maybe you do a song you did earlier. That's what the Chiefs did in overtime of this game. They just went back to the that worked either earlier in the game or earlier in the last Super Bowl. And they all worked again. They ran that Mahomes like zone read keeper, where they had Kelsey in the flat. They ran that earlier for a big play. They ran it on the 4th-and-1 to extend the game in overtime. They hit mesh for a big play to Kelsey to set up that that end of regulation situation where they converted 3rd down, went back to it on 3rd-and-6 in overtime. Then you go back to corndog to win the game. Like, I love that Andy Reid was just like, you know what? I'm out of plays, guys. I had like 50 plays. We're out. We can run WASP again if you want it, if we needed to in the next drive. I'm good. This is all I have.
So I want to pivot off the Chiefs for one more topic on the 49ers, because I mentioned this earlier, but they have actually been installed as the favorites in Vegas going into this offseason to win the Super Bowl next year. I don't know if anyone really believes that they're going to be the prohibitive favorite going into next year after how we saw this season end. But I do want to ask you, where do they go from here? Is this team missing something? Do you think they're going to be as good as they were this year, next year?
I don't know. I mean, you look at what went right for them this year. They had so many of their key players relatively healthy, right? Like, like McCaffrey, Debo, Williams, IU, Kittle, Purdy, obviously, Nick Bosa, Javon Hargrave. I realize I'm naming a lot of key players. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they should be considered the favorites, because I can name like 10 essential dudes who are awesome on that team. But outside of Talanoa Hufanga and outside of Dre Greenlaw, incredibly got hurt today stepping onto
the
field.
It might not be there
next
year.
Brutal.
For a while.
Brutal, terrible time for an injury. They were relatively healthy. And they're one of, I think they're the second oldest team in football relative to the Chiefs. So to me, I think next year is, if this year wasn't their best chance, next year is, because after that, Purdy presumably gets a lot more expensive.
I think the way they get better is Purdy gets better. Like, that's it, right? That's the only way they get better. Unfortunately, it's the, he's shown that he's way ahead of the curve that you would have for a quarterback at his age, and certainly for his draft status. But his draft status doesn't matter anymore. He's a starting quarterback at this point. And fortunately for them, that position has the most impact on any, out of any position on the field. So if that player gets a lot better, which it's reasonable to assume that going into his third season, coming off of a Super Bowl run, it's reasonable to assume that he would get better. I guess Jalen Hurts might beg to differ, coming off of last year's Super Bowl run, where he was awesome in the Super Bowl, and their team, still very talented, seemed like they got a, not seemed like, they got a lot worse. So that's the optimistic view for them is, and the tough thing about the 49ers, I think, is unlike the way that the Chiefs won a Super Bowl and then kind of decided to not double down and to take a step back, the 49ers don't really have that option. They kind of went all in, and they've been trading away picks to get quarterbacks that don't start and to get additional players, McCaffrey and Chase Young, and they really don't have the picks. Even if they hit, well, even if they could hit on these picks, they don't have the picks to hit on. So they hit on a lot of picks late in the draft in order to prolong their window. But next year, they're still well within the window, obviously.
Dominique, you said Brock Purdy could get better, or they could just get a better quarterback, which is why I'm postulating this time next year, we're going to be talking about Mac Jones leading the Niners in the Super Bowl.
Is that serious?
Why not?
Because, come on.
you know he wants Mac Jones. You know Mac Jones is getting traded.
And so you think Mac Jones is better? And that's, or has the potential
I'm not,
to be
I'm
better.
I'm not saying he's better, but I think Kyle thought he was going to be a top five pick. Kyle thought he should have been a top five pick. They took Brock Purdy in the seventh round. What does that tell you?
You got to save some of these for the dog days, man. You got to save some of these hot takes for
when
we don't got nothing
warm.
To talk about.
You wouldn't say.
I want to keep you warm through the cold, dark postseason. I know you got 4 months of talking about Kyrie ahead of you. I'm trying to keep you afloat and warm and toasty until we get to training camp.
You wouldn't talk about Chris Jones having an MVP level performance, but you want to talk about Mac Jones being the quarterback for the 49ers next year as an improvement over Brock Purdy.
I think the drugs just kick in. The sickness drugs, they just kicked in. Bill is high, guys. High.
That's not. I've heard that a lot this year. Last time people were telling me I was high, it was on TV when I was saying the Jets were not going to finish in first in the AFC East. So I'd be careful.
I'm sorry.
Be careful.
Bill is low, guys. Very low.
I'm low. Very low. Many ways, very low. Of course, I'm mostly joking. I think the Niners will trade for Mac Jones. I don't think he's going to usurp the job from Brock Purdy. But, like, if you're the Niners, what do you do? Like, do you just run it back? Do you feel like, okay, we have to go all in and make that one, give up more picks and try to get that one guy, whether it be a guy in the secondary, whether it be another tackle? Like do you think they feel like we're old and so we have to go all in, or do you just run it back with the guys you have?
That's a good question for John Lynch, but I think that my assessment of the situation is they aren't in the position. They've passed the point of no return. Like, this is a long-term rebuild if they try to rebuild it. It's not just a reset, like, which they could have done a few years ago. So, yeah, I think if you think that you're close, which they obviously are, then you keep barreling in until you run out and you have to start the clock all over again. I don't know. Had they won a Super Bowl this year or had they won last year and Purdy stayed healthy, that's a different conversation. But now I think when you get this close, keep going all in. And when they have to pay Purdy, things get real tight.
So I got one follow-up on this, because, like, this offense has been, like, you know, DVOA shows this team as, like, one of the best teams ever in the regular season.
I can hear
the
disdain in your voice.
No.
He's disgusted. He's disgusted.
DVOA.
You might be disgusted by the comp that I have. First of all, much higher on Brock Purdy than you are. But particularly, like, it's not like he dacked in that game. He played well, and particularly down the stretch. But this offense is so effective in the regular season.
You wonder if that's why he made his cadence, here we go, because people hate on him all the time. And he's like, here we go.
Here we go. Running past the A to Z, we go.
So
I'm sorry, Charlie. Go ahead.
Is this team,
you look really disappointed. This point better be good.
Is this team the Houston Rockets of the NFL?
Ooh.
You're already starting to transition to basketball early.
Mm-hmm. Got those cross-sport comparisons coming. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're the Houston Rockets of the NFL, because the Houston Rockets, to my knowledge, never made it this far, right? Like they're not the Sixers, because they never made it this close. I feel like, yeah, you know, they've made it so far that we know they can do it. It's not like, you know, it's not like they're the Cowboys. I would say the Cowboys are like the Sixers or the Rockets. Whatever James Harden-led team you want to pick or this year's Clippers, I guess, the NFL, where they weren't even getting close. Like, I feel like we wasted 7 years of your life talking about James Harden-led teams because they weren't even ever close to competing for a conference championship, let alone a NBA title. We know the Niners can get there with okay, good quarterbacks, not great quarterbacks. Like, we know they have the ability to pull it off, and they came within a yard of winning this game. So I'm not going to draw that as a fatal flaw. I think they're better than you're giving them credit for, but they might be the new version of the early 90s Bills.
But why does their offense like depreciate so considerably in the postseason compared to the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, I think they play better teams in a row. Like, it's like you're playing good teams. It's not that you don't get the beat up on the low-level teams, but I think the 49ers' offense changes in or everybody's offense changes a little bit in the postseason because the game planning is a lot more sophisticated. And I think this was the point I made about the Cowboys is you're able to isolate the weaknesses on a team a little bit more easily. And when you have a guy at quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, it feels like it doesn't matter. But you watch, he struggled through these playoffs. He was able to make some special plays throughout, but it feels like it's true of everybody. The same with the Ravens. Their offense was not the same in the postseason that it was all season long. The Dolphins the same, but I guess they also played in like sub-zero temperatures, so doesn't matter how the defense plays. So,
and wind plus two. Wind plus two equals bad.
We've seen the Niners offense blast off. We saw that they had that Raheem Mostert 4-touchdown game against the Packers in the NFC Championship game a couple of years ago. We saw them.
They put up numbers last week or 2 weeks
ago. They blew out the Seahawks. The second half last week, they were incredible. Yeah. You know, to me, I think Dominique's right. You're playing tougher competition, so you're not getting those 14, 21-0 early leads that you typically get on other teams. And, you know, to me, I think obviously you're disappointed, but you might want to take away from this saying, hey, like we came back. We were behind against the Packers. We came back and beat them. We were behind against the Lions. We came back and beat them. Like, we can get in a situation where we're trailing and win. It's not easy. We'd rather be play from ahead, obviously. But, I don't think there's some fundamental flaw with this offense any more than there was a fundamental flaw with Andy Reid's offenses when he was losing late in the postseason. And people were saying, oh, he doesn't run the ball enough, or he's not cut third enough. The reality was he didn't have a quarterback. And when he had a quarterback, he won the hell out of the game.
I know that anyway, I won't preface this with some nonsense. I'll just say this loss feels like it could be debilitating psychologically to a team that keeps getting close and not quite having enough. And I was thinking, if I were the coach, what would be the message? Because I thought after Dan Campbell's loss, like, I think he gave the right message to that young team, is that young team doesn't need complacency. You don't need a pat on the back. You need to be told, like, this may never happen again, so let's attack this offseason as if we've never been there before. And I don't know what the message is for this team, in part because who's sadder than the coach? Like, when they showed Kyle Shanahan's face. So I feel like someone needs to give him a message of encouragement. I think it's got to be tough to show back up after last season where the quarterback got hurt and they're like, don't worry, wait till we get back. He's going to be healthy. We're going to get it done. And then there's plenty of guys on that team, or at least a few guys still on that team, who are on the 19 team. And then after that, they come to this year and they get so close and don't get it done. Like, it's a tough way to go into the offseason. It doesn't feel like something, even though this season was a pretty positive season, encouraging season, it doesn't feel like it. It just feels like there's a brick wall in front of them that they're not going to be able to get through.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Probably got in the Super Bowl, but Bill, favorite Vegas story.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, Bill.
What do I want to reveal? A lot of things I'm not allowed to talk about, frankly. I would say Dominique getting furious at Charlie and I for getting in and out.
Oh my God, yeah.
Wildly successful live podcast and having to apologize to Dominique for wanting
you
to
apologize.
I did apologize. You're furious at us because we didn't eat when and where you wanted us to.
It was not.
Charlie,
gotta see.
Back me up
it
on
was.
This.
It was pissed.
Okay, I was definitely annoyed because you guys is poor clock management.
It's Vegas. There is no clock.
There's like always the clock.
It was like the clock in overtime. It didn't matter.
Did it ruin our night, Dominique?
No, it didn't. It could have, but it didn't. You know why? Because I'm Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not going to let you guys ruin our night. I'm Patrick Mahomes of fun. I made sure we had fun. So guess what? We go to the live show. We have a great time. We leave the live show. We standing outside for 30 minutes, chopping it up. Cool. Then we go to a restaurant, and we sit at the bar, and we have drinks, and I order food.
Didn't look other that good.
Other people order food. We all eat. And then it's like 20 of us. We all get up, and we're headed to the Kelce party. And you know what? Everyone leaves to go to Kelce party, and you two are like, I'm hungry. After we left the restaurant. Why didn't you eat? We're at a restaurant. I want to go to get some In-N-Out. And so then we got to stand there, because it's not only that we had to go to In-N-Out, it's that there's a strip of 30 restaurants. In-N-Out's the only restaurant with a line. Mm-hmm. I want to go to In-N-Out and stand in line.
I'll tell you about the quality of these restaurants relatively. That's the one good one to go to.
All right. So then we got delayed and we ended up getting to the Kelce. It actually probably worked out in our favor, because if we just showed up in that big group,
I wasn't going to go.
Yeah, may not have. Well, Bill decided not to go to the Kelce party, but we may not have been able to talk Charlie and Sanjay into the club if we'd have came in a big group.
Can I admit something?
What up?
I had a horrendous tummy ache after the In-N-Out. I couldn't admit it. I played through it the entire night because I was like, if I let this ruin my night, Dominique will never forgive me.
Way to fight through. You and Deebo Samuel.
That's right.
And George Kittle. You just went, go in the locker room. Go in the locker room. Take care of what you got to take care of. Get you a nice a Tums shot to the belly.
I had some tummy Toradol in the blue tent and ripped it up at space with you guys.
Oh, yes. We went to the space. And I didn't even notice. You fought through, man. Good job.
Dude, we performed. We performed at that party.
Under pressure.
It was great.
I'll be honest with you. Vegas, best place on the planet if you need to use the bathroom. It was constantly surrounded by three-star and up bathrooms at all times. Highly recommended. Vegas doesn't talk about it. Hugely underrated part of Vegas.
This is someone like who's lived in New York.
Sounds like someone the opposite.
Someone who's lived in New York who appreciates three-star bathrooms at every turn. It's
have you seen the bathroom at Dorsia?
You ain't waiting in the line in those Starbucks for this bathroom. Trust me.
We're gonna devolve into a full Vant recap. We gotta save it. I would like to do an independent Vant show. I can tell the story about how I embarrassed myself in front of Tom Segura.
That was great.
Oh my god.
We'll get there. Save it. Wednesday episode. Here's a tease.
So many great things. Anyway, thank you, everybody, sincerely, for coming to the live show and showing us some support. It was really awesome to see you guys there and really great to have a good experience. It's nice to remind everybody that we're good at things, and it's because you guys were there. Also, thank you to Podville for helping us out with such a great season. This place is beautiful. Mm-hmm. We love you. We will miss you. And huge, huge thank you to the whole crew. Charlie, captain of the crew. Megan, captain of the crew. Rest of you goons. Brian, Kevin, Serafina, and of course, Tez. Seriously, appreciate you all very much. I love you like play cousins. What's up, Charlie? You about to say something?
No, it's going to call Cortez a coward.
And I saved the hugest thank you for that man with the middle finger up at me. The one and only, the handsome, intelligent, talented football genius, Bill Barnwell. All right, now we can go.
I picked the Chiefs.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.